One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're officially over here at Studio J, aka Studio Jeans, doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. My website's RyanSickler.com. My new album, I tell you every week, Get a Hold of Yourself, available everywhere you get comedy and music. Get over on Spotify, make those channels, rate and review it on iTunes. It's out there on Sirius, all that stuff. April 4th through the 6th, I'm at the House of Comedy in Phoenix. I think that's, 2 weeks from now. April 26th and 27th, I'll be in Vegas at the Vegas Comedy Festival. I'll be doing some June shows in Richmond, Maryland, and Atlantic City with Tommy Buns. August 1st through the 3rd, I'm at the House of Comedy in Minnesota. And I'm going to try and work on Edmonton as well. Get up there and go international on that ass. Doers, I just want to say thank you for all the positive feedback. I'm blown away. I'm getting messages, emails every day. And I'm glad that you really like the show. I really love the show as well. Please subscribe, rate, and review the Honeydew Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The website is thehoneydewpodcast.com. Email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com and follow the show on social media. On Facebook, we are The Honeydew Podcast. On Twitter, @HoneydewPod. And if you are new to the show, welcome. What we're doing over here is we're laughing in the face of adversity, having some fun with the not-so-fun times. It is a pleasure to introduce my first guest here at Studio J. You guys know him from your mom's house, a fan favorite. Please welcome Josh Potter, everybody.
What's up, dude? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on The Honeydew here.
No problem. I live here, so it's like it was easy. Easy
you're,
booking.
You're perfect for this fucking show, bro.
Yeah.
You are fucking perfect.
I don't
perfect.
Know, because I think about... I'm the thing that's in the kitchen looking at the Honeydew going to be like, at least you get to be on the table. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whatever they don't bring out, that's me. I'm that
That's
thing.
You?
Yeah, I'm back in the kitchen being like, fuck you, Honeydew. At least you get the table, dude.
You're
like I don't
that.
Even get out there. I'm in the kitchen all
you that real wet, like, mayonnaise-y macaroni
yeah,
salad
yeah. Some shit
with some
like,
ham
Ooh.
Chunks in it they're leaving in the back.
Something they scrape off the top.
Well, before we get into your story, will you please let everyone know where they can find you on social media? Plug and promote anything you want.
I'm on Twitter, @J_Potter, and I'm on Instagram, @Josh_Potter. They should match, but they don't. And so that's where you can find me, and you can... see all my upcoming shows on there. I want to thank everybody who came out to the Hollywood Improv 3 days ago. It was a barn burner. Just putting that one out there. Hopefully I'm not lying when this comes out. And if I am, it's don't consider it fake news. But yeah, I do. If you did come, thank you.
Anything else?
I'm just
you
putting
want?
That one out futuristically.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
We did that before. We pre-recorded a thank you to Bridgetown message, and then it fucking aired before we went to Bridgetown.
I am sincere from the future, but I'm just going to be doing sets around LA the next couple of months, so look for those on my Twitter and on my Facebook. Or
right.
on my Instagram. I don't have Facebook, so.
I had hit you up and said, you know, you're perfect for this. Will you please send me a list of stuff you'd like to talk about. You sent me a list.
Was it too short?
No, God, no.
Okay, good.
But I first met you 2 years ago. It was a bucket list show for me because I was in Maryland visiting family. I had my daughter with me, and Tom had come into the Lyric. I was flying out that day. And he's like, you got to stay and do this. And there were like 12 things that had to happen. I had to be back by a certain time. I had to... you know, switch flights, all that shit. And it lined up. And I was like, oh, I got to do this. So I went down to do it, which was amazing. And that's where I met you.
Yeah.
And didn't know, I had never heard of you, hadn't met you.
Oh, yeah, I had heard of you, but I didn't, like, you know, I was trying to be, like, cool about it, you know what I'm saying?
You're fucking great, but I, of course, immediately saw your glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And you busted my balls. So when I went on stage, I said, give it up for Josh. He ain't going to see shit, but he's definitely going to hear it. And that was our introduction to each other.
Yeah. Well,
and then
also,
after I was done, we went and smoked a joint back in the garage where
we got baked in that woodshed or whatever the fuck
and
that was.
I started asking you all these questions about your life. And 2 years later, here you fucking are.
But it's some revisionist history, I think, because I had not busted your balls because I was being like, oh, man, I know
really?
Who Ryan Sickler was, and Tom had been like, yo, he said you're, like, super old. I forget what the joke was, but it was like, about how you're, like, 70.
It was Tom stoking the fire.
He said, I asked Josh how old you were, and he said 74 or something like that, and, like, he made it, like, outrageous, like, and we never had, but he did that in front of me, and then, yeah, you were busting my chops after that, and Tom loved both of them happening. He loved the reaction you had and everything. He loved that whole thing. So
like,
yeah, I never busted your balls about anything.
Because
I was all
ball?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a ball buster. I don't have the energy. You know what I mean? So yeah, but that was his joy for that interaction.
Yeah, because I was like, well, if he's going to do that, I'll just take it to the crowd.
No, he loved it. I loved it too. I mean, it was funny.
So I want to talk to you because you told me some fascinating things. We started talking about your sight, your vision.
Yeah.
So why don't we just start? Because you said you were born with this, so let's start.
Yeah,
I
forget that people like don't realize something's up. You know what I'm saying? They see like these glasses and they're like, "That fucking hipster." You know what I mean? But no, I was born 4 months premature.
Four?
Yeah. It was like three and some change, but it was like I'll round up because like fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like let me have that.
Take four.
Give me that fourth week.
Yeah.
So, I was born early and I lived, which is the miracle in itself, according to my mother. But they say the eyes are like some of the last things to form on a baby. So mine weren't like fully formed. And so when I came out, you know, time went on. When I was two, my parents started noticing like Sesame Street was on and Josh is really into it. Like he's right up on the fucking TV. You know what I was like? Like they're like, man, is he just like really into that shit or something up, you know what I mean? And then they took me to a doctor and figured out that I need glasses already at two.
At two?
Yeah, so it just, and as I grew, what happens when you're nearsighted, if you're getting
nearsighted. Is that what you are, you're nearsighted?
Yeah. Your eyes become oblong, and as you grow, they also grow more oblong. And that's like it being more
nearsighted.
It's
making me want to blink a lot right now when you say that. I feel it in my eyes.
Yeah, right? So like down the road, I found out in seventh grade, when your eye gets a little too oblong, I also had a disease called macular degeneration, which deteriorates your retinas. And mine were growing so oblong that it ripped the retina. It tore it.
Damn.
And that doesn't hurt or anything, but it's like, so I woke up in the morning and I had basically just like a brown curtain starting to emerge from the left field of my vision to the right in one eye. And I thought I got like soap in my eye at first.
You remember this clearly.
Oh, for sure. I remember the whole day. I remember like the feeling in the morning going like, man, I got soap in my eye or some shit, you know? Like, I'm just like, you know when you get something in your eye in the shower or whatever, you get that, like, purple splotchy shit going on? I thought it was that. So, like, the whole day, I'm like, man, I really fucked my eye up. You know what I mean? Like, and then by, like, fourth period, I was like, something's
what
up here.
What color is Big Bird?
What color
is Big Bird? I'm right up on it, man. He's blue. That's Cookie Monster.
I was in science class, and I go, I don't know what's going on here, but I can't see all
of a
sudden.
You raise your hand
and say
that?
The thing kept getting worse. It kept like, it was like a curtain was closing over my eye. So I went up to the teacher. I go, can I go use the bathroom for a second? And I ran to a payphone because we didn't have cell phones yet. I was in seventh grade. And I ran to a payphone. I called my mom. I'm like, something's up.
Remember when you knew phone numbers?
Oh, dude.
I knew everybody. I don't know. I barely know mine now. Everyone's just plugged into my phone.
I have a funny story down the road here about forgetting the phone number, actually, because of the phone
cell phone thing.
But yeah, no, for sure. So I call my mom on a payphone, and I tell her, like, something's up here, like, really bad. I don't know what's going on. I was losing my vision completely in my eye. And so we went to my eye doctor immediately because, like, my mom called him, and he's like, get the fuck in here. You know what I mean? So
Get the fuck in here.
He knew, dude, my eye doctor, I've had the same eye doctor since I was a kid, and this guy is the like is the shit. Like, I love this guy. Like, when he retires or dies or whatever, I'm fucked. I'm never going to have a good enough eye doctor ever again, I feel like. But, so yeah, he's like, he brings me and he knows right away
but
what
so,
this shit is.
So from 2 to 7, are you experiencing?
This isn't seventh grade.
Seventh grade, sorry.
13 or something like that.
So between 2 and 13, are you noticing gradual differences?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it just
every time
boom,
I grow
boom?
Or like, you know, when you get new shoes and shit as a kid, how often you get new shoes and shit? That was me with like thicker ass lenses.
Really?
They're like, it was like, oh, you're up to a 7 or an 8. Time to get a new fucking prescription, you know? And my dad would be like, fuck, you know, how many omelets do I got to fucking cook to pay for this shit?
Was your dad a chef?
You know, he just worked. He used to own diners
He just cooked omelets.
He cooked diner food and shit because he owned diners and stuff. But yeah, he'd be like, fuck, how many fucking hot dogs I got to sell to fucking.
He's got him to Kurt Rambis's last year, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right. That dude, I saw him on a playing card one time, and I was like, that's my hero right there. That dude's my fucking hero. Him and Horace Grant.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Represent.
The Horace Grant's next year already? Jesus Christ, man. We're just fitting him for the
dude,
Kurt Rambis.
I remember I played soccer and shit, and you know soccer, right?
Of course I know.
And
I was all JUCO.
Yeah, I wasn't very good. I think I was kept around for, like, team morale. I was just like, the kids in the locker room, like, we're like, this dude's. I love this dude. And I'd be like, hey, you make some laugh.
It
you
was
know,
10 on 11 when you were on the field.
I was never on the field. That's the whole point. I literally was never on the field. And I can't believe I made the team over people that were better than me. But I really think it was because, like, the other players liked having me around. And when we'd run, they're like, the coach was like, well, they're running. They're laughing when they're running the perimeter. So who gives a shit as long as they run them or whatever. You know what I mean? So they kept me on the team both years, varsity. And I sucked. I mean, I was decent, I thought, but I had glasses. And I remember playing with glasses, and like every now and then I'd, you know, take a header wrong or something and I'd lose my glasses and I'd have to like grab them. Or I was really good at knowing the spatial awareness of where my glasses was somehow.
You're not doing that Velma like
no,
all
I
around
like,
shit.
Like fucking
dribbling past you.
Exactly. Yeah, that would have been so I would be able to catch him or something. Like I was really aware of them being on my face. But
you
so
didn't
one
have
day,
the like band that goes behind your neck or anything.
No, I wasn't a fucking geek, bro. No, I'm just kidding. No,
I lost my croakies.
Yeah, where's my croakies? Dude, my mom would preach croakies to me all the time. She's like, you're going to lose it in the pool. You're going to lose, a wave's going to come and your life's over.
Just put
over.
This herringbone around it. Tie it on each end, man. That's all we
my
got.
My mom would fucking be like, please. She'd beg me to wear the croakies, you know what I'm saying? Because this shit is not cheap, and I didn't realize that as a kid. You know, you think you just get glasses because you need them.
It's like 500
eggs. You don't think that shit's
right there,
like,
man.
Yeah, yeah, you know how many fucking omelets I have to move for your fucking glasses? So I became aware of that at a young age eventually because I was reckless with them. But I mean, shit, I'm protective of them now, even though I kind of treat them like shit. But yeah, anyway, I got those rec specs one time. My dad suggested, he's like, let's protect these glasses, get those rec specs. Took one ball, the rec specs broke.
Nah,
my glasses never broke fucking once, dude. My glasses are more hardcore than rec specs.
Shit's made for the take a beating.
Yeah,
broke.
Dude, it was hilarious. It was. I remember the very first ball that hit me in the face, they snapped in half. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? My glasses never broke, dude. Never.
And then were you out there just like running with one up, holding one up and running? And
oh,
shit,
dude,
and
I went and got my glasses out of my bag. I was fuck this shit. My dad's like, great, another G down the drain or whatever. You know what I'm saying? yeah, whatever those fucking things. That shit's like NASA shit, those fucking rec specs, you know? I mean,
all right, so let's go back. You go to the doctor. You're seeing the brown curtain. He says, get the fuck in here. He knows what this
is. He knows what that
happens.
Shit is.
You're
and
in
so
seventh grade.
I need to be rushed into surgery immediately.
Right there on the spot?
More or less, the next morning.
That's got to be frightening for everybody.
Oh, dude.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a little sister.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we're all freaked out. And so it's like, it's a surgery that is relatively routine. It's a retina repairman. It happens, but it's not routine in a 13-year-old child. It's routine in an elderly person, you know?
Yes.
This is something that happens to old people. So when their eyes are becoming more decrepit. And I had it happen at 13. So the doctor's like a young dude, kind of like mavericky guy. They sent me to a specialist because like my general eye doctor can't perform a surgery. So I have to go to a specialist. This dude is like young. He's fucking like on it. He's telling me news that is so grim sounding, but just straight laced. And I'm like, I respect it to a degree, but I'm also 13, so I'm like, this is frightening, you know? Because he was just stone cold, like, this is what happens.
Yeah,
this is
the,
like, he's saying shit like, you know, if this surgery doesn't work, you know, you're going to be looking at being blind. And
is your mom in the room during this?
Yeah, my mom was there. And so, like, he's just telling me all this. I've never had an adult really just lay it out like that. And he was just, like, straight up with me. And he's,
listen, three years from now, you're going to be wearing a prescription welder's mask. All right.
But, you know, I mean, like, if this doesn't take or whatever. He was telling me, like, what the rehab's like and just, like, the long haul that was ahead and all this shit. And just laying it out. And it was just so frank. And this guy, I'm like, he knows what he's doing. Like, I kind of trusted him or whatever. And he did. And he actually asked me, he's like, this is a unique thing. Can I film this?
Really?
Or, like, journals and shit or whatever. Like, medical, whatever the hell. And I was like, dude, yeah, I mean, I don't care. I was 13. I was like, I thought that was kind of hyped. I was like, yeah, that's dope. Yeah, film it. I'm like, I'm going to be in a fucking museum.
This is out there somewhere? Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Because this guy, after he did that surgery, he, like, went and started working at it.
You're not going to believe this. We dug up the footage from the surgery.
Let's take a look at that surgery.
Okay, I thought you were going to be like, Dr. Seligson's here.
Chew up the left eye first.
Oh, shit. No, but he used that to, like, get a cool job or something, because he ended up moving somewhere else and, like, climbing up the medical ladder or whatever. And so
how long are you under? Like, how long is this procedure?
I don't really know how long you're under, but it's like a full on, like, you go into the hospital, anesthesiologist and shit. And then, like, I learned, because, by the way, spoiler alert, I end up having this surgery 4 more times.
Jesus.
Yeah, so.
And are you out for, like, a few days, weeks,
no,
months?
I'm out, like, I wake up at the end of the surgery, and, like, then I'm like,
I don't mean out under, I mean out of commission.
Oh, dude, you, so.
Out for 3 weeks of surgery.
I don't want to get too into the weeds, so steer me off course if it's too, like, medical or whatever, but, like, what they do is they basically suture your eye with, like, it's like a tire almost around your eye so that it can stop growing more oblong and it can keep your retina intact.
They, like, implant that in there and,
yes,
like, sort of keep it.
After they seal the tear, they put this suture around it like a tire almost to contain it. And since I was so young and it was a fresh tear, it was just one fresh ass tear and it wasn't, like, splattered and it was an easy, like, so, you know what I'm saying? So you could repair it and then you could suture it and hopefully contain it forever. Please. And so that one was done, right? And then so the rehab for that is to keep the suture in place and to keep the thing from the tear from reopening, they inject your eye with a gas bubble that acts as a paperweight.
And it stays in there? It doesn't pop?
No, it's as time goes on, like as weeks go on, it slowly...
What does that feel like?
What's the word? Goes away. It's painful
as hell. Dissipates?
Yeah, dissipates. Yeah, so like... you have to lay the way so that it can float to the top and be pressed against that seal. So whichever way it is in your eye, you have to lay like a magic eight ball shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had to lay on my fucking face for this one for 3-4 weeks. And then like I had to keep my face that way as often as I can. Cause like any time spent upright or whatever takes away from the pressure of that on the seal, so it could fuck it up. You know what I mean?
Did you do something like get like a massage table with a hole in it and just put a TV down?
No,
there?
I just straight up slept on a bed with like a pillow and shit, and like
slept.
And they gave me Percocet, so I mean, it was kind of cool. Yeah, dude, it was like I
hate you laugh. I hate those fucking.
Oh, things. Dude, I fuck.
Oh, they make me throw.
It
up
turned
and
into
itch
a thing.
It usually does for most people.
Because I had this surgery. Count them 4 more times.
5 so, total. You've done that.
Yeah, because then to get out of all of it, because I feel like I'm boring you. With
no,
this
you're not.
Shit.
So you're 7th grade. You've done the surgery. You're out for a few weeks.
So that
recouping.
One's
pooping
set right after
but,
I recoup.
But what is life like after that?
It's kind of cool. Like I'm 13, and like,
are you still playing?
You know,
sports?
The rehab. Yeah, like after a while, because it was so young, I could get back into shit. I remember it sucked because I actually was kind of good for my school in 8th grade for soccer comparatively. So I made modified.
Compared
they were
to
gonna
kids
make
could see or
compared to the kids in the school. That could see, yeah, fuck those kids. You got fucking 2 eyes, you motherfuckers.
Coaches always use you as
that. Oh, yeah.
If Josh just dribbled right past you, he don't even know where the fuck the field
he's
is.
He's got heart.
That's why we keep him.
He's got one
That's
big
why he's
heart
on
and one eye. So,
So, one big heart, one good eye.
So, but I made modified. I crushed the tryout. I scored in a scrimmage like 3 goals. It was crazy. And I was like, I made the fucking team. I'm going to be captain of this team. And because my gym classes were, I wasn't allowed to join gym at a certain threshold in the year.
Because you're, just the day.
Because I was out. Because gotcha. Like, because of the rehab shit. I couldn't play modified, and that sucked. You know, I would have started on that shit. But then, you know, as time went on, I gave less of a shit about soccer. It was just more for fun.
Was that the only sport you played?
Oh, yeah. I played bowling, too, actually. I was varsity bowling.
Varsity bowl?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I don't think we even had a bowling team. We had a golf team, but I don't think we had a bowling team.
Yeah, it was dope. You just it was a bunch of dudes like that you probably don't want to hang out with because they just play magic cards. Remember that shit? You ever fucked with that? Probably, but they'd play these magic cards. It's like Dungeons and Dragons-y shit. And I grew up bowling with my grandpa, so I just was like, well, I'm decent at this. So I want to see if I can make the team, and it's like free bowling. So yeah, it was like, and you get a varsity letter, you know what I mean? I was like, I'll get a varsity letter freshman year. I don't know why I thought that was cool. I was a dork, I guess. But so I did it for one season, and I made it, and I got on the team and everything. And it was like just the winter of going to bowl after school pretty much every day.
And is your vision slowly getting worse again after this? And
yeah,
when
like,
do you start seeing
so,
that?
Throughout, like, once I get to high school, sophomore year, it happens again in the right eye this time. And this one's not, I don't know that the cut was so clean, but the doctor wasn't as good, this new doctor. He fucked it up. And so after that one, I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not a surgeon, so I don't know what he did inside of the surgery. But when I came out of it, I couldn't see as well. And I had like, it almost looked like someone put like Vaseline over my eye or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like looking through a weird filter.
Did you notice that brown curtain again? Is that
yeah,
where
that's
you're
what
like,
happened.
So
yeah.
Every time it's that, at least for these two times, like now I know what this is. I got to get
yes, I knew
in.
This time what
and
it was.
And they take you right in again?
Yes. And so I'm a sophomore in high school this time, so it's a little more complicated with school and stuff, which sucked. That part sucked. As opposed to when I was in like seventh grade, the school was like, he's fine. He's not retarded. He can get to eighth grade, you know? So they just kind of let
he
me
just
slide.
Can't see the
there was like
he can't
4 months.
Hallway.
Yeah, I was like 4 months I was out, and they were just like, whatever, you know? Because they're like, he can do seventh grade math. But high school was a little bit more of, I just start doing like, I had a math tutor have to come over and shit. So I was just like ready to fucking, I was just taking those Percocets like a savage, dude. Because back then they did not fucking regulate it, it seemed. I was taking them definitely more than I should. And they kept refilling it, so I was like...
For how long? Months?
So that one was for like a few months, and then I had it happen again in the same eye because that doctor sucked. He fucked it all up.
Did you go back to him?
No.
Okay.
He was gone. I went to another doctor, and this doctor, because now it was already damaged in there. So this doctor, the suture's in there and shit, and now it's still having tears. But now it's like, think of it like wallpaper. Instead of like one tear, now you're getting like fucking... You got that shower on too long or some shit, and you got like parts peeling everywhere and shit. So you have to go in and be like, pss, pss, pss.
Oh man,
so
make me want to rub my eye.
So I went in there.
Make me blink hard.
I went in with this other doctor, Dr. Wu or Wang or some shit, and I thought he was gonna be dope because you know he was an Asian guy. I thought it was gonna be sick, but he sucked, dude. He was straight up trash. He was the trashiest doctor.
He was worse than number two?
Well, this guy at least admitted it. The last guy didn't admit that he fucked up. He's like, that's as good as it gets. And I was like, I don't think so. I want Dr. Seligson back here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, he fucked it up, though. He, too.
Dr.
Wu? Like, he straight up was like, it didn't, like, so I went through the surgery, went through the rehab, and then he goes, it didn't work. We have to do it again. So then I went to the surgery, went through the rehab.
So now you're on four. This is number four.
And then I come out of it, he goes, didn't work again. So now...
When he's saying it didn't work, what was supposed to happen that wasn't happening?
The repair of the tear didn't take. So it just, like, that gas bubble thing wasn't working. And so they'd have to, like, redo the suture or redo the, repair of the tear, you know, like laser it up again or whatever. So
I got some good news. It took. Bad news. You're Asian. You're now Asian.
I would have taken it, dude.
I bet. Shit. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. I would have taken that shit. Probably have a Netflix special.
So, so you are now on number four.
Right. So now he goes, second time he goes, didn't work again.
And he's doing it again?
Well, he goes, or do you say, the second time that? He goes, I have done all I can. He admitted that at least.
Meaning he's he like, can't do a better job.
Yeah, he's like, I tried twice. I can't, it wouldn't be responsible for me to like try it again at this point. He's like, your options are this. It's over.
Or, he said that?
I mean, not in so many words, you know? And it was that, or it was go to the Cleveland Clinic and go to one of their specialists because he's like a better doctor than me, basically is what he essentially said. So my parents, I was ready to tap out. I'm like, it's done. Give me a fucking dog, whatever. Let's go, you know? And my parents were like, let's check this doctor out in Cleveland. And now we're going to fucking Cleveland for doctor's visits and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm in college, dude. This is me in college. 3 hours. And I'm in college at this point. It's like sophomore year of college. It's the summertime. That's already been 6 weeks now with these other two. And so now I'm like, now I'm going to fucking Cleveland and shit. So like, I get there and I'm like already thinking this shit's futile. Like, there's no way this is going to work. It didn't work. Like, what are we trying to save here? And I'm blind, by the way, at this point. Like, that's how we find out it doesn't work. I can't see out of it. They'd come bring me in. They go, let's check. They cover my good eye. And they'd be like, can you read the line? I'm like, I can't see the room, dog. Like, I can't, what sign? You know what I mean? Like, it is black. Do you have the lights on? Because I can't see shit. So then it became
so
like...
So what do you see at that time, at least? Do you see
to nothing.
Like
I've learned,
black when you close an eye?
Well, what
or
I learned
do you see
is
a little light?
Through their tests that they start shining bright lights on you and shit. Like, can you see this light swoop? Or like, I'm waving my hand, you know, can you see which direction? You know, stuff like that. You do little tests and you've learned, like I learned, like now if I cover this eye and I go like this and I like really look hard enough, all right, I can see like there's something moving in the blackness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gone. Like, it's not viable. And so that's the bad one. This is the one I had in seventh grade. It's staying strong for now, like, knock on wood. You know what I mean? So, like, it's kind of weird walking that tightrope knowing that's all you got left over there. And then it's, like, stick time and shit. You know, I got to get a fucking... I live near the Blind People College here in L.A., and I see blind people walking with such confidence all the time. I don't even walk that way, and I can kind of see, and I don't walk.
Fuck
that
your dog, man,
dude. I'll see them like going like with their fucking stick, just walking down the street like la,
smiling,
la, like, whistling and
shit. Yeah.
And I'm like, I run into a fucking pole, and I'm like, Jesus,
can't
Christ.
Walk around my place in the dark.
Fuck. So I don't know how that's gonna transition if that happens, but
so
and then I gotta learn Braille. I don't.
Did you learn Braille?
No. You think I'd preemptively do it, right?
Yeah.
I should do.
I'm
that.
Reading
that's
it at
idea.
The ATMs and shit.
Yeah,
I don't know what it says.
I don't know how. Here's the thing I always wondered. Like,
I always go over and touch it.
So, like, how do you know where the Braille is on the ATM? Like, you know what I mean? When you go blind, you have to learn all the Braille spots. But first, you know, you ever see Braille on a thing and you go, how would the guy even know the signs there?
Yeah, like an elevator.
Yeah.
Because at an ATM, they might say, you know, for hearing impaired or vision impaired, press this and then tell you there's Braille. And you can feel it. But an elevator just sitting right there under the number.
I got to do something where I have people helping me out when I'm blind, because if I'm like in this state and I'm blind and I just have like my loner life, I don't know what's going to go down. You know what I mean? I don't know how that's going to work.
Well, I remember asking you about driving. So,
oh yeah,
obviously that
I
was,
did. And I drove through all this.
I was going to ask you, did you get a license or did you just drive?
So when I was 16 and you go in for your permit, right?
Yeah.
My eye doctor.
You walk in there just like, no.
Turn around. You think you get out of here with a fucking doctor?
No, man. Uh-uh. Passenger only. Go ahead. Next.
The office for the handicap signs are down the hall. So I go in. My eye doctor, by the way, told me, because we asked him straight up, like, should I drive? And he was like, yeah, you can drive. He's like, there are people driving with worse vision than you.
For real.
This is what blew me away when I met you.
I only had one eye when I met you.
This is back when I had two eyes, the doctor said this to me. And so I was like, dope. Okay, cool. So I go in there and I straight up tell my dad, like, we weren't like up on my prescription because I never really bitched. Like, I can't see perfectly, you know, like I would just be like, after a while, my parents would be like, you didn't see that, did you? I'd be like, nope. And they'd be like, all right, time to up the script. You know what I mean? Like, it'd get bad. Because I didn't want to be like a pest. And it also was a pain in my ass to go fucking get checked and shit. So I never talked about it. I just deal. And so I told my dad, I go, dude, I can't read that fucking, they're asking line 3, line 7 and shit. And I can't fucking read that. He goes, all right, it's a F4, 6, 7. He's like, are you getting this? 6.
Are you four, getting
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, okay, okay. Because we were listening. Like, we're like, okay, so they asked him 3. They asked her 4. They seem to be rotating between 3 and 4. So, like, just memorize both. And so I'm going up there. I'm like, 4, 7, 5. And I get up there, and then I, like, you know, I probably could have got a fucking Emmy or some shit because I was like,
line 5.
I'm like, 4. You know, I'm acting like I'm squinting it out and shit. Man, I crushed it. So I gave me a license, and guess
you
what?
You just had, all you had to do was say those like 6 letters, and yeah, that's it.
And so, like, I knew I was tempting fate, I knew. And so the next time, you know, when you have to renew your license, I was like, Jesus, I'm not going to be able to do this again. And my dad's not going to come with a 20 something year old guy to get his fucking license redone. So I talked to my eye doctor about it. He goes, I'll just write you a note.
Yeah, this is what you told me. I did not know this was...
Anyone can do this, by the way.
Yeah, tell
people. You want to forego the eye test at the DMV, just go to your eye doctor, and your eye doctor will vouch for you and just write, like, yeah, you can drive, and whatever your script is, and then you give it to the fucking DMV at the eye check thing, and they go, all right, cool, and they stamp it, and they don't give
and
a
that's
fuck.
It. You don't have
that's
to take it. The
How do you think
test?
Old people fucking get through?
I had no idea.
An
I
eye doctor,
no idea
my eye
do
doctor
that.
Said, I'll never strip you of your independence unless I feel like you would put some other people's lives in danger. And I'm sorry, everyone, that he made that decision for y'all. But
but you're out there driving.
Yeah, I don't drive anymore now that I live in L.A., actually. I stopped driving for the betterment of society. That's part of
what
it.
What close
also,
calls have you had
here's
driving?
The thing.
Have you had accidents?
I've had 2 accidents, but one was because I was a stupid 16-year-old. And I just was rushing to get to a place, and I hit some ice, and I rear-ended a person. And the other one, actually, I
did
had
you
no...
play it up when you got out?
Well, no, because I didn't want them to. I actually,
I would have been like, "This just happened."
No, you see, here's
this
it.
Just happened. Look at my eye.
That's so interesting because I did the opposite. I had to play it up the other way because I didn't want people to tell me I couldn't drive anymore. So I had to.
So
act
how,
like,
what did you do?
I had to act like I really fucked up. I was like, "Oh, well." You know, I was just really rushing and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I don't have depth perception. So that was the real crutch.
Trying to shake the guy's hand. You keep touching his chest.
Dude, all the time I do shit like that, I'll be like, for this beer, I'll be like.
Why is this guy punching me in my chest, man?
Oh.
Oh, it's right here.
The mic. And I go up to a mic sometimes. I'll put it in the stand. I'll be like, oh, shit, okay. But, yeah, so I played it up the other way, but that was the only accident that was my fault. The other one, I got T-boned. Guy ran a red light, but that was the only 2
Damn.
Accidents. Now, was I dinging up my car on some poles and some shit once in a while? Of course.
And
I don't have
wheelchairs.
A right eye, okay? Yeah. I remember, like, one time I was after my parents split or whatever, I was living with my dad for, like, a little while, and I remember I came home, like, I just new place and shit. And I turned the corner in the driveway, and I scraped the car against the house.
The
and,
house?
And, like, fucked up the, like, paint on the concrete of the foundation, you know? But it fucked up my car even more.
What were
it
you
fucked
driving?
Up the house. And it wasn't my dad's house. He didn't give a shit. It was the landlord who gave a shit. I was driving a Honda CRV.
All right.
And I just scratched the whole side of it. And I didn't really give a shit about the cosmetics of my car. And my dad's just like, Jesus, you know? He asked me, he's like, what's going on here? You drinking and stuff, like, when you're driving and stuff? I go, Dad. I have one motherfucking eye.
I love the
fact,
yeah.
The fact that this shit doesn't
happen. It wasn't even a consideration.
Daily.
It's not even on the list.
Yeah, and he, because I don't
is
know.
Is you drinking?
Yeah, like.
You just
well,
the Percocet?
That wasn't out of the, no, yeah, Dad. That wasn't out of the realm either.
Are you going through some shit right now? Yeah, Dad, I am. Is it, what is it? It's the eye, Dad. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Dude.
I do notice everything on the, you couldn't drive in England. It's
well,
all coming the opposite way. It's
no,
all
it's
you'd
this
have
eye.
To,
so like,
yeah,
I'd be on the other
in
side.
In England, you'd have to be using
like
your right eye.
I feel like I could do it regardless, dude.
You think so?
Yeah, dude. I got good at. I got fine at it. Like I drove as an adult, constantly, and never got into an accident. Now my real problem was like getting in trouble with keeping up my car, like maintaining my car to the point of it being legal to drive. And that caused some issues in itself. So that's the other reason. It's a two-pronged reason I don't drive. A, eyes. B, because I don't enjoy the responsibility of a car. I feel like it's a needy child, and I fucking hate it. You have to put fucking oil in it and gas and fucking take it for its tires. And it was a nightmare. I hated it. And,
You just said take it for its tires.
Whatever, dude. They fucking suck. Cars suck. You got to get all these forms and shit. You got to get insurance. You got to get your registration, your inspection. Fuck all of it, dude. I can't. I'm not good at that shit. And I know that sounds like a lazy, or it's like, it definitely fucked with my brain, like, because it was like, am I lazy? Am I just irresponsible? But it was like, no, I just hate these fucking machines. I don't respect them. And I just don't. I'm going to try what it's like to not own one. And now I don't own one. And it's like a weight has lifted off my shoulders, dude. It is like unbelievable not having a car.
Did you have a good driving record or a bad driving record?
A terrible driver. That's the other reason, really. Because, okay, so I'll connect the dots here, please, for 1 second. After I go to Cleveland Clinic, the doctor there is dope. He's like fucking Maverick from Top Gun. He's like, I said to him straight up, I go, hey man, what, you know, if this doesn't work out, like, what's my life looking like? Give me the fucking flat skinny. Cause he was like a cowboy. He'd tell me straight up.
He's like, close both your eyes.
Yeah. He goes
like that.
Well, no, cause it's like, we're talking glass eye and shit. I'm like, what's that? What's
no.
that? Like? Yeah, dog. So,
I had a neighbor that had a glass eye and he used to take that shit out. He used to pop that out and you could see the fleshy, like, little, oh man.
I used to do a joke about like the potential
trip
of doing
us
that.
Out. We were like, ah, he was
that's
a
the thing. I'm
going to
be the weird fucking guy with the glass eye who pops it out at bars for
push
fun.
Push
mo like,
in your yard out
how
back
am I going to get laid ever again? I'm like in a sophomore in college and
I
it's like you're going to get a glass
listen,
eye.
There's someone for everybody.
Oh,
I
yeah,
guarantee
but who wants the
you're
someone.
A you're a bucket list, bro. You're a bucket list.
Not for bait. Like, yeah, it's like there's someone for everybody, but sometimes that someone is a fucking discard also. You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so I don't want that. I'm fucking. I am a virgin at this point, by the way.
How old?
Still a sophomore in college. And this deterred me from being able to get laid. I didn't lose my virginity until 22. It's a tragic thing. So college, I go back, right? And I am blind now in one eye. And I say, like, this shit is a waste of time. Meanwhile, I started working in radio. And that was another reason why those surgeries sucked, because I was starting to get traction. I was getting airtime. I was getting on the air. And this deterred that also.
So what did the doctor say when you were, like, level with me and just be straight?
Well, he gave me all that glass eye shit. Like, you got to maintain it. You got to fucking take it out. And it's like, your life's going to be like this. And he painted the picture of being a guy who has a glass eye.
It was just the glass eye was the only option?
That would have been the next step if it didn't work.
About a patch?
No, because, I mean...
A lot cheaper for a patch.
The thing is, like, the eye itself would die, and it
Oh,
and
you
it
have
starts,
to you can't leave it in the
like,
body?
Like, if you can't... If the surgery... Now, at this point, we're not trying to save my sight anymore. We're just trying to keep the eye as a living organism inside of my head, essentially.
So, even though you don't have sight, it's still... Still,
the goal is to
working within the body.
Yeah, the goal is to keep the eye alive so that I can keep it in my eye or in my head, and then they can, if you know, stem cell research or something progresses, or there's like something that they can do down the road. Hopefully, medical technology will catch up with my issue and then fix it. So that's what we're trying to save it for, is the hope of that, which is so fucking dumb anyways, right? Like, you're like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. I'm doing all this for, like, the hope of the future.
Let's take it out. We're going to freeze it.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. They might as well be like, we're going to send it to Mars, yeah, and it's going to come
it's
back.
$40 a month. We keep it here in this air-conditioned, environmentally friendly case. And hopefully some stem cell research goes back. That would be great, guys. Put your eye back in, man.
That's essentially what they did, but with my skull. And so I tell the doctor, I go, what are the chances that I'm getting a glass eye? Flat out. And he goes, I'm pretty fucking good at this. He said those words.
I'm
and,
pretty
know,
fucking good at this. Yeah, your doctors drop a lot of F-bombs
dude,
on your
this
eye
doctor totally. No, the other one was like straight-laced button-up. He never said
get the fuck in here right now.
Yeah, no, that guy. Yeah, I love that guy. He's a G.
So he said, I'm pretty fucking good at this, meaning what? Guessing what's going to happen?
No, like the surgery.
At the glass eye
like
surgery?
He's like, I'm a fucking surgeon at surgery. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, he had that swag. And I was like, dope. Okay, so I felt confident going in. And then, sure enough, he did a great job. And it's still in there. It looks gross as fuck.
This was number five? He's number five?
Yeah. Okay. And so that was the end of that. But so when I went back to college.
So you say it looks gross. Let me see. It just looks cloudy to me. Let me see.
Oh, yeah, you can see.
So he did this?
Terminator shit. Yeah, he did this. This is him. But they did see that, you know, over time, they took the lens out. And then they're like, you don't need that. So they didn't put that shit back in. And so my eye looked
throwing
weird.
Throwing shit in the trash.
Dude, it was like, you know how you have the color part? You know, like your eye is like three
What's
layers.
That? That's just your retina. Don't worry about that, man.
It's like, you're just taking parts out of the
anybody
engine.
Anybody see his iris? Has anybody seen that? Don't worry. You don't need that either. Where's the ball? All you need is the ball, man.
That's all I got. So they took that lens shit out, and they're like, you don't need that shit. You can't see
it. You don't need
so,
the lens, the iris, none of that shit. So, the pupil's gone. I mean, we just need the ball, man.
This shit's a cataract, bro.
It's just a cataract.
Yeah, it looks better than the fucking shit that was underneath it. So I just keep that shit around.
So are they prescribing you any marijuana at the time for
any of that? There's none of that at the time. It's all Percocets, baby. The whole fucking run through. And I'm this is before like the opioid epidemic was like a known thing. And I'm not saying that I had nearly.
You were at the cusp of it.
Well, I'm saying like I could have definitely gone down that path, but I'm not nearly as like bad off as some people are out there as far as how hooked they were. Cause like basically they just told me it's over. And I was like, what do you fucking mean it's over? And then I couldn't get any more. And then I just kind of like stopped.
Really? You know that's I mean? How you got off of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like I never, I guess I wasn't that addicted if I wasn't going to great lengths to get them again. I just thought I'm never going to be able to get these again. So I just kind of like was an asshole for a few months or whatever. You know what I mean? And even when I've gone back on those things, like the whole thing that kind of I feel like helped me and made me go like, am I an addict? Was when I just didn't have availability, I didn't seek it out. It was always just when it was like thrusted in front of me and then I went hard. You know what I mean? And I could see myself going hard if I always had availability. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had a main line. But so I go back to school and I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do this shit. I'm already working in radio. I'm going for a communications degree. This shit's lame as fuck. So I drop out and I just went with my cousin to Europe for a summer and just did that shit. Because I was like, I lost a fucking eye. I want to see some shit. And turns out it wasn't that like...
You lost an eye before you lost
your... I don't remember half that shit. I got so fucking... I lost an eye before I lost my virginity.
That's what I was going to say. You lost an eye before you lost your virginity.
Lost an eye. Yeah, I never thought of it that way. Like a real pirate. That's how you get into pirate. That's how you become a captain.
That's it right there.
You get a parrot and shit.
Fuck your hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
So how old were you when you had sex? You said 22. 22. And how do you meet this girl?
I was on the radio and she recognized me at a bar one night and
was it a one night stand? Did you start dating?
No, we actually dated. Yeah, we dated and she was older than me.
How much older?
She was 26 and I was 22.
Okay.
And she had like at the time Facebook is the way of communicating, you know, it's the soup du jour. And she didn't have any of that shit, which I thought was interesting. And so like it was weird after we stopped talking, she just disappeared into the ether. And like no girl has ever done that in any other aspect of my life. But when my virginity story is kind of wild because I mean obviously on your mom's house we've been talking about like my lack of being able to ejaculate. And on my first time I did not.
Wait, you can't ejaculate?
I just don't. I mean
it's all the perks.
I know, dude.
It's probably all that backed up Percocet all up in you.
That could be it too, dude. It could be the Percocets. I think like there's so many things it could be. I feel like it could be my eyes, the fact that I'm not seeing the woman like in HD, you know, that also has been an
HD.
You know what I'm saying? Just like I'm not seeing it all. Like sometimes you got to take your glasses, come off, you know, from sweating and then you're just like, yeah. And then you have to get real close to see what her tits look like. But, you know, sometimes that's come in handy, by the way. Also, it's been an advantage.
I'll bet, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just go like, woo, all right, who's it? Okay, cool, let's go. Feel around, all right, there we are. But, I don't know, so.
How's my hair look? I don't know. How's this dress look? I don't know.
But so, no she goes like, because I'm having sex for the first time and I don't realize this is happening.
Is this her first time?
No. Nah. She is well versed in the arts of so much so.
I wasn't even her first blind guy. Yeah.
She's like, shit, at least you have one eye. That last guy didn't have any. She goes, like during the sex, she goes, did you come yet? she was kind of a curt, cold woman, which is kind of like what I enjoy. But she goes, so did you come yet? And I go, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And she goes, you would know.
You would definitely know.
Yeah, and she was offended by that. And then, like, it became a thing. And then, like, down the road, we broke up or whatever. But she also expressed to me that evening, she was like, what would you think about me using a strap on you?
Pegging you?
Yeah. I was like, well, can I get to, like, doggy style first? You know what I'm saying? Like, I had just started this shit. Like, talk to me in, like, a decade. Maybe I'll be more open-minded, you know? But shit, right now, I'm like, let's just practice missionary.
Let me just call my doctor and see if there's any way this could help my vision.
I already got, I already lost an eye. I don't want to lose the third eye too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but if it's good for my eyesight, I'm in.
Can I see out of that one afterwards? Because that'd be dope.
26 and hitting you up on the pegging right away.
Yeah, she was kind of cool. So
seemed like a real sweet girl.
She was super cool.
Yeah.
I think she became a cop or some shit, but
sounds about right.
I lost my mind though after that shit. You know what I mean? I was just kind of diehard radio. I wanted my career to explode in that, and I dedicated myself to it. And I dropped out of school and started doing that shit.
So, how'd you get into radio?
I got into radio through a sales internship during high school, and then I just never went home. I would listen to the morning show, which was Shred and Reagan. They're still on there to this day.
Is it the Buffalo Show?
Yeah,
right?
I did
that to promote my album and said some really nice things about you. And they said some great stuff about you, too.
Oh, dude, I owe everything to those guys, too. I mean, like, including Tom and Christina. Like, I mean, I wouldn't even have met Tom if it wasn't for working on radio and doing comedy and stuff. So I started in sophomore year, I started in sales as an intern, and then I just, like, would just stay. And I knew the show. And I always said to myself, like, my dream is to be on that show. Like those other guys on that show are, you know, I want to be one of those other guys on that show. And I did it within 6 months.
Damn, that's great.
Hanging out there. And they didn't know I was in high school at first. And then when they found out, they were like, well, shit, your internship, like, it's kind of tough. You got to wait till the summer till you can come back. So I remember,
were you like a character on there? Or
I started
regular,
doing
or...
on air stuff here and there, like stunts, you know, like stunt boy shit. And, my very first like thing that got me big in the show's eyes was I got shot with a taser by a police officer.
What?
Like one of the pronged ones. And
were you on
your knees?
This is
before YouTube and shit too. If we would have videotaped that, it would be like a bazillion hits because I was standing upright and other cops hold me and then lower me as I was getting the electrocution.
I've told the story before. One of my cousins is a cop, and he said when they were tasering guys first, they were standing up and they were just locking up and falling on their face and breaking their noses and knocking teeth out. So now they put them on their knees when they hit
them. This cop knew that. So he was like, let's just lower him as we do it and then set him on the ground.
Were you shirtless?
No, I had a station shirt on, and punctured holes in the back of it. Shit.
They go to the back or the chest?
Oh, into my back. Yeah. And right into the back. I rode the 5.2. They took me all the way, 5,000 volts or whatever. I was 16, dude. And they were
what if that brought your vision back?
Oh, dude. That's hilarious. Yeah. It couldn't have helped.
I would be worried it would fuck up the other eye. I'm not taking any voltage, guys.
I'm trying to remember if I was 18 or not yet because I don't want to get
that
in trouble or something. It sucked, but it was fun. I mean,
I'm
on the radio.
Right?
It's 5 seconds, I think.
5 seconds, 5,000 volts. Holy shit.
And I'm on the radio.
That's a long time.
And if I curse, you got to dump out of that shit and it's gone. It's fucked. The moment's gone. And I knew this going in, and I didn't say one curse word. You hear me start to. You hear me go like, oh, fudge. You know, like say shit like that. And
for the bit.
Yeah, for the bit, dude. And they acknowledged it afterwards. Like, he didn't swear once. And then like, that's a pro. I got hired, dude.
That's how you got the job?
I started getting paid. I remember, like, also I learned how to do production, like, on my own time. And I was teaching the person they hired to be the production assistant how to do production as the intern. I was teaching the person. And I remember one day, this is just how brash I was at 17 at the time or whatever. I go up to the boss and I'm like, you're paying this person that I'm teaching? Why don't you just pay me to do it? And then he goes like, all right. And they started to. And I had to go back to my school then and be like, I have to work a job in the morning hours. Can I get my classes shuffled to the end of the day? And my guidance counselor was super cool about it. He actually was like, yeah, that's a good thing for you. Like, I'll help you do that. And he let me take like a final, like on the spot.
That's cool.
Yeah, for keyboarding or some shit. But so I started working there while I was in high school, started being on the morning show, and then it just kept going as I went along. And then I just left there like 2 years ago. So
it's that recent? You left there?
I mean, throughout there, I left and came back for a job in Cleveland at one point.
This is in Buffalo when you say...
Yeah, when I was right. I started in Buffalo, and I stayed there for most of my radio life, and on that show for it too, you know, throughout its years, 15 of them pretty much. So, yeah, it was wild. I love doing it, but it was just not viable to do. I mean, you know, you love where you came from as well. It's just not viable to stay there and do this kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
Just gets to a point where it's like, do you want more, or is this going to be your life forever?
So you said... you had told me off mic that you've been arrested a couple
times. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was going to...
Is this during the radio times?
Oh, or? Yeah. So I dropped out of school, went to Europe, came back, started doing comedy shortly thereafter.
Did you get your diploma or did you get a GED or...
I got a high school diploma.
You did.
I dropped out of college.
Okay.
So I didn't get like a bachelor's or any shit like that. So I drop out of school. I start doing comedy in like 2008. Right, and I lost my virginity. I started doing comedy before I lost my virginity, too, by the way.
Okay.
That helped me lose my virginity, the confidence of doing comedy or whatever. So,
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I'm going out doing mics as often as I can. We're working in the afternoons at this point, so my hours are like super chill. Like I get to work at 1, you know? So I'm going out every fucking night. It's like the best life. And I get a DWI when I'm like 23.
How?
Pretty run of the mill. Like I got just pulled over after being at a bar and I didn't blow a ridiculous amount. It wasn't like I was swerving all over the road. It was just like...
What'd they get you for?
Because it was late at night and I was out on the road. And like when... I don't know if this happens in LA or like major cities, but like when you're just the car on the road, they just look for something there to do. My tires hit a white line apparently on the off ramp. So, I mean, whose doesn't?
Right.
So that's what they pulled me over for. And I think they suspected that I was doing something. I was definitely ripping bowls in my car and shit the whole fucking time.
You're driving?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't give... Back then, dude, I did not give a fuck, dude. I remember I was leaving my friend's voicemails being just like, I'm a fucking highway cowboy, bitch. Like, I'm drunk, like, sometimes leaving these voicemails. The fact that I didn't get pulled over for a worse thing prior to this is lucky to me. So they pull me over. They make me do the breathalyzer and shit. I'm, by the way, bawling. Because I'm like, I've never been arrested.
You're crying
shit.
While you're doing it.
Like, I'm so sorry, sir. Please, there any way? He's like, no, you're fucked, bro. Like,
they so, make you walk the line or any of that stuff?
Oh, dude, no. So, like,
that would be unfair to do.
They did
you.
Do that shit. They did do
they
that
did?
Shit.
They did?
Yeah, dude. And I told him, I tried to play up the eyes. That was the one time I tried to play him up, dude. I was like, my glasses.
I'd be walking the wrong direction and shit. Nah.
What's talking to me over here? I'm like, yes, sir.
Where are you? I hear you.
Oh, was I going east?
I would have played the shit out of that.
But, yeah, so they...
So
I
what
mean,
did
they
you
were,
fail?
They were cool, though, because I failed everything. I don't know. The alphabet, all
every
that shit. Yeah, so I was also nervous. I'm shaking like a leaf, you know? And I'm cold. It's cold. It's February or some shit. And so the cops, like, they find... Basically, what happens is, even though I'm a .09, they find drugs in my car, and they find, like...
What drugs?
Just weed.
You're done with the Percocets at this point.
Yeah, I'm smoking a lot of weed, though. And I'm also, like, living like a lunatic. There are empty baggies of weed just in my center console, like, with, you know, weed fuzz, like Dorito, like, you know what I'm saying? Like
Dorito dust.
Yeah, like, but weed dust, you know? And they're just like, oh, my God, they're just, like, going through my... Because I would just finish a bag and just put the fucking bag down in the console, you know? Get a new bag, you know? And I was driving around smoking weed all the time. And
they
find all this shit. Yeah, they find all this shit, and they're like, "We found a bowl. We found actual weed, and all these."
You
bags.
Found that bowl?
Yeah,
I've been looking
Thanks,
for that.
Dude.
It was under the baggies.
They found weed in my car that I'm like, in my mind at first I go sick, and then I was like, "Oh yeah, they keep that."
Yeah, that's right. That doesn't come back.
Fuck. So so the guy tells me, he's like, listen, you have very low amounts of weed in just a bunch of empty bags. What are you doing? Like, you self-medicating or something? And I'm like, yes, sir. I'm just sad a lot or something like that. And he was like, okay, do me a favor. Throw this weed in this bowl. Do your best Jim Kelly impression. Throw it out on the highway there. And we'll pretend like we didn't see that.
For real?
He said that to me. And I did that. And I did it. And he goes, that was more like, I did it like a bitch.
Now I'm going to get you for littering.
Well, yeah. That'd be some shit.
That's going to be another $275 right there.
No, but I'm sobbing, and he's like doing me this favor. I'm like, thank you so much. I'm groveling at this point to the cop. Like, you're the man. Thank you so much. And I throw the fucking, I'm like, ugh. I throw the bowl out there and just like rattles into the road or whatever. And he's like, that was more like Todd Collins, bro. And I like laughed, but then I'm like, then he's like, okay, get back in the car.
Now Thurman Thomas is over there, get it and like, throw it over.
It's so weird. I don't know if you've ever been around, but like, if you've ever, any interaction with a cop, like, I don't know. It's just, I'm so stressed out around cops, but like in that moment you like share a laugh, but then you remember the dynamic immediately afterwards. Cause he's like, you're like, ha, 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 and then he's like, okay, get in the back.
All right, let me, you know? Yeah, yeah. Turn around. Let me cuff you.
Exactly. I'm already. Yeah, exactly. Let's get these back on. But, so that was the first time. And then, like, as time went on while I was on the radio and shit, I was fucking around. I was partying and stuff. And I was also just, like, shitty with the car, like I mentioned. And so I was also poor, for the record, by the way. Broadcast radio doesn't pay a lot of money, as it turns out. And it was my whole purpose in life at the time. And I'm like, what's next? I don't know. So,
what other gig doesn't pay a lot of money to start? Oh, comedy.
Well, yeah, I combine the two. So yeah, I'm like, I'll sure supplement did. My income with two shitty incomes, and maybe they'll make one decent right. income. And, you know, it worked out at times, but sometimes it didn't. And so I just got shitty with my car. It, like, I remember I got, like, lapse registration, lapse fucking inspection.
You,
like, it's
but
just,
you don't like doing it, though.
I'm a wreck.
Makes sense.
It's all racking up. I also can't afford it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I have to get XYZ fixed to get inspected, and
I
then
have to take my car for the tires.
I have to, dude. My friend makes fun of me because I do say, like, these are serious issues. Some of them, like the water pump. I don't remember the fucking things that are wrong with my car at the time. Expensive things. Things are like $700. I'm like, well, fuck, we're gonna have to wait on that. But my buddy would make that joke. He'd be like, oh, you get a headlight out, you're taking it to the shop because you don't know how to do shit with that shit. He's like, oh, Josh's wiper's broke. Better call the fucking mechanic. Schedule something for Wednesday. Get it in there. But I just didn't fucking know anything about it and give a shit. And I would get pulled over all the time for like, your inspection's up, your blah blah blah. And then like I'd be like, okay, keep that court date in mind or whatever, and I'd fucking miss that shit. I'd fuck all that up. It became like a rat hole.
You'd be a no-show to court?
I'd forget about it.
Oh, bro.
Dude, I know, right? Or I'd go and then they'd give me the thing and be like, pay it by this day, and then I would be like, oh fuck. And I'd be like, beyond that or whatever. And then it's like, when that happens, by the way, your license is suspended.
Right.
So sometimes you don't know until
they get you.
You get pulled over that your license is suspended. There's no like notification
out there for them until they get pulled over.
And like, I'm moving around and shit. My mail's going wherever. My license on my address is like my mom's house. So it's like going there and.
Your mom's house?
Yeah. Now it is. So I fucked up. I mean, it was my 20s. I was a retard. I don't know. I was bad at it. So I was like not responsible or whatever. And I fucked up.
So none of your shit's current.
I fucked up too many times to the point where like I kept getting pulled over with a suspended license, and they only let you go so many times. And I was on the road getting pulled over. Like, I remember I had a gig in Atlantic City, and my girlfriend, who had broken her leg, like fucking Joe Theismann style at a bar somewhere.
Oh,
isn't that wild, dude?
What?
It was the wildest night.
She had a compound fracture at a bar?
This girl, this was a nightmare because me and my buddies did a show and then we did mushrooms and we were having a boys' night. We went out to bars and shit and we were like, let's go to one more bar. And so we picked this bar. We go there and come stumbling out of the bathroom is my girlfriend.
You have no idea she's there.
Did not know she was there. There's only so many bars people go to in Buffalo. And so she comes stumbling out of the bathroom. Someone's like, isn't that your girlfriend? And I see her take a dive onto the ground like she was just shot. And I'm like, oh my God. And I run up there and she's like, my leg. She's not even making sense. She's like, my leg, my leg. I thought she was just super drunk. And I'm on mushrooms. So I'm like, come on, let's walk it off, you know? Let's get up and try and, like, stretch or something, you know? Meanwhile, her fucking shit is baroque.
Just from falling like that?
She just fucking, I don't know, girls, man, with their fucking heels and shit. I don't know how that shit goes down. But so eventually, shit, we have to call a fucking ambulance. So anyways, time goes on. She still wants to come with me to this gig in Atlantic City because we were talking it up, like, oh, I got a hotel room and shit. It's going to be fun. So she, thank God she did come, though, because I get pulled over and my license is suspended. And they're like, can't let you fucking drive. So eventually I just straight up fucking tell the guy, I'm like, hey, man, I got this gig. I need this gig to pay for these things that my license is suspended for. Can my girlfriend drive you? Just give me the ticket, because he wasn't going to arrest me. They let you go with the tow truck when they're a state trooper, I guess, or whatever. So he says, fine. He lets her drive. So she's driving now with this fucking broken-ass leg.
Right.
Thankfully, it was the left one.
Oh, okay. I was going
to
say.
So she's driving. We get to those tolls in Pennsylvania where it's like a bucket, and you got to, like, you're playing, like, a fucking carnival game to get that shit in there. And she, like, opens the door for some reason to lean out and throw the change in the thing, and her leg comes out of place.
No.
Yes.
The bone popped out?
Because it wasn't like, it was like a dislocation.
Is Lawrence Taylor waving? waving him in front of the side.
At this time, she's well-versed at popping that shit back in, I guess. So she's like, God, and she's in pain.
Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon over here.
Dude, popping. She's in the driver's seat of a toll booth, too.
And just stopped there. Screaming.
The car is like idle drifting, you know, like out into the road. And I'm like, trying to fucking like, I'm like, push the brake. I'm trying to get the shit in park.
She's popping,
you know?
The bone part?
No, it's not the bone. It's like, I don't know.
Out of socket or
shit,
whatever.
It's like, this shit came disconnected.
Oh,
you know
God.
What I mean? Like, the whole thing was just out, you know? And so she would be like, blah. And I don't fucking know what it was. I didn't care about her that much. No, I'm just kidding. But so she fucking screaming and shit. And me and a guy that worked at the toll booth get my car pulled to the side and shit and like, get her out of the car, get her in the back seat. She takes like her Vicodin or whatever fuck pills she had. I take one because I'm like freaking out now. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna miss this gig.
I need to calm down.
So we finally get to Atlantic City. I'm driving again. You know, now I have
to rush too
because I'm gonna be late to check in for this show at the fucking whatever that casino is that fucking shut down Revel. And I get to the fucking casino. I make it by 5 minutes, dude. And I have time to take a shower. I just cried in the shower. I'm like, because I could have got arrested. I have to drive all the way back tomorrow and could get arrested. Like, if they just flash my plates or something, I could get fucked. So I was like a ball of stress that whole fucking time. And one time I got pulled over in a small town near my mom's house, and I got pulled over and they had to take me into a jail for a suspended
holding
license.
Cell?
Yeah. For like
suspended
a holding
license?
Center. Mm-hmm.
And then you get the tow and the ticket and all that
bail.
On top of it. The bail. Yeah. Oh, they don't let you out on your own for
no,
that?
I had to bail. Yeah, dog. I had to wait until I got bailed out.
How many days?
Like, not days, hours. And it was like two, and it was excruciating still. It actually wasn't too excruciating. It was just humiliating because I saw one of the cops I went to high school with. I'm like, what's up, dude? You know, it's like, didn't think I was going to be on this end of an exchange, you know, like as he's processing me. Got to take your hoodie strap out of your hoodie, dude, because you might hang yourself, you know? And I'm like, man, if I could have figured out how to do that, I would have done that shit a long time ago.
This hoodie string ain't
holding my bag. Yeah, so I mean, like, that all that shit went down. I'm so glad I cleaned all that up before I moved out here. And, you know.
So what has it been like? I know you joke about you don't care about that girl, but what has it been like dating? Do you go on the sites?
No, I gave up on those apps. I deleted them and shit.
Did you try them?
I'm unfortunate looking and I realize that. So it's not a great way for me to meet women.
But do you have to give them a heads up or do you give them a heads up on the dating app?
About my eye?
Yeah, your vision in general.
I mean, I always assume it's apparent.
Like you need to drive. You know, you put that kind of shit on.
I must
have license.
It has been a thing where like people
C-class
are like,
you know, prefer.
I think with Uber has, by the way, changed my life. I don't have to drive, I feel like, anymore. I'm not trying to advertise for them or anything, but I mean, like, the whole ride sharing thing has made it so I don't have to do it anymore.
It's also helped with comedy too. Like, I feel like so many more people are coming out to shows because they don't have to worry about parking and then getting a DUI on the way home. Mm-hmm. If they drink too much or whatever. I really think it's that, in addition to this boom of comedy, I think ride sharing has been a big part in these cities to help get people out to the
and
clubs.
Now you'll fly to a city that you didn't necessarily want to fly to because you're like, how do I get around, you know, it's going to be a nightmare. So you're not like, now I can just fly there and get an Uber from the airport instead of drive all the way there fucking 12 hours or some shit. I mean, I drove to fucking St. Louis. I remember I told Joey Diaz I drove to St. Louis and he was like, holy shit. You know, like he was freaked out about that.
Yeah.
And then like I did, like I always feel
you
terrible.
Drove Buffalo to St. Louis?
Yeah. I always feel Jesus terrible when I have to drive like a comic home at the end of the show. Cause like I remember Tom, like the first time I had to drive Tom home, he was like, you know, I'm about to have a baby, right?
Listen, I know you're right out on work, but I want both of them on the road.
I can't imagine what he was feeling. I drove him home from a Bills game one time in a snowstorm, and I told him, I'm like, no, dude, this is better this way. Everyone.
Why didn't he just drive?
I don't know. He didn't offer.
He can drive.
He loves driving, too. I don't know why he didn't just offer. I think we were just still started hanging out or some shit. I don't know. But he didn't ask or anything either. He could have. I let everyone drive my car. I let Big J drive my car. I let everybody because, like, I feel better. You can drive my car. If you feel uncomfortable with me driving, you can drive it.
Listen, I'm just for moving forward. If it ever happens, I definitely want to drive, bro.
Of course.
I definitely want to drive. Oh, after hearing these stories, I definitely want to drive.
Because I drove Big J around a lot the one couple of times, and I almost, like, hit a person. And he was like, that's it. He's like,
it's a wrap on your ass.
We're still going to use your car, but... And I had like a Monte Carlo at the time. So he was like, you drive this? Like, it was like a muscle car. It was kind of weird for me. Weird look for me.
That's also a car you could sideswipe shit back in the day and not have terror.
It wasn't one of those. It was like one of the newer ones.
Oh.
But, yeah. So, I mean, I'm super psyched that I don't have to ever drive again and I won't get arrested again. I feel like driving is associated with going to jail for me. I would just have panic attacks when I see cops all the time, you know?
Yeah. Especially if your shit's not current. And
yeah. And you don't. And then, like, I was in the weeds so much, I had to get a lawyer to help me, like, sort it all out. Because it's like, then you got tickets in this fucking state, tickets in this fucking state, tickets, you know, and it was a fucking shit show. And I didn't even know where I was anymore. You know what I mean? Because I was just driving to gigs and getting pulled over all the fucking time. And I remember I told Donnell Rawlings that I got pulled over one time, and he was like, you didn't tell me you was the N-word this whole time. Driving without an inspection. That's what he was the only time he ever gave me props like that. That was a special moment.
That felt good.
Yeah, it did feel good.
So let's go back to feeling bad and back to dating.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, no. Oh, shit. So I think my dating progression worked out in a way that, like, I started out being, like, super too nice to girls to the point of, like, they weren't into it. You know how you, like, that early part of college and shit, where if you're just like, you are my princess, they're like, their fucking vaginas seal up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was in that fucking lane for a while. I remember in college, there was a girl who, I was like, you want to get high? Now, I was on to something with that, but I didn't realize it.
You definitely were.
So I was like, let's go smoke in my car. So we go out to the car, we get super high, and we start making out. And I'm like, boom, I have a girlfriend. I thought I had a girlfriend.
Right.
And I'm a virgin at this point. I'm like, now we're definitely having sex. This is so happening. And I didn't know how to initiate those steps. I thought she would naturally do it. And she didn't. We just made out. And then she started, like, going for stuff. And I was like, she started, like, doing other stuff with her hands and shit. And I'm like, yes, we are married. This is my girlfriend. We're married. Yeah, like, I can't. I'm going to call my mom tomorrow and be like, get another place set for dinner.
You better build a room on the house, yeah, mom. Yeah.
Her name is Kim. No, I was super like, that's how I was, though. I thought this is what happens. This girl wouldn't just hook up with me in a car. So the next morning.
So did you stop her?
No. We kept going, but we didn't like, I didn't up the ante ever. So it would stop out at like hand stuff or whatever.
Hand stuff.
Yeah. And I thought, we've got our whole lives in front of us to have sex. This is fine.
Right, this is my wife.
Yeah. So it never came to me that she might just be a girl who wants to just do some drugs and make out in a car. And so she had to work at Tim Hortons the next morning at 7 a.m. And there was like one Tim Hortons in this town, and I had to pass it on my way out. And it was in Brockport, by the way, in college, Brockport. And so I had to pass this Tim Hortons on my way out of town. So I thought, I'm going to pick up a rose and put it on her car like some fucking John Cusack shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Put a little note on that shit. Tell her what's up.
Back when that was romantic and not stalkerish.
Well, no, it turns out it was stalkerish in this day when I did it, because she was not thrilled.
That's not that terrible.
Could you imagine?
I'm
like looking back on that shit. I can't imagine what she must have been thinking, because she's like probably at work. She's like got to go to work super early at Tim Hortons to like make coffee for fucking people.
Got
and
a
shit.
7 a.m. rose.
Yeah,
all
and she's probably all
on it and
hungover and shit. You know, she's like, oh fuck, last night I got a little too out of control, and she's like at work like pouring the coffee, and then she's like goes out to her car, and she's like, what the fuck?
Did you leave a letter?
Oh yeah,
a note
like fucking Dickens shit, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you are the light in my fucking life and shit. I was a real piece of shit back then. A real asshole. I hate myself looking back. That's why I never lost my virginity, because I just didn't know what I was doing. Like, I had a girlfriend all through high school.
No one knows what they're... I still don't know what I'm doing. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
My girlfriend all through high school, though, was a Christian girl. So she was like, I'm not having sex till I'm married. And I'm like, that's cool. This mouth stuff's pretty dope. I haven't had that before. You know what I mean? I didn't give a shit. I'm like, we're doing that mouth shit still? That's
I'm not coming anyway.
So. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was fucking wild. But we were like if they would have put us in the yearbook for one of those, like... what are they called? Like the shit that they put you in the year before, like most funny or whatever.
Yeah, we best been couple like, or
yeah, we would have been like 69 king and queen.
Really,
it's like what we—that was our jam. That's dude. What. Yeah. That was it.
Because
she was like, I'm not having sex till I'm married.
I love that she's Christian. She's not having sex, but she'll suck dick and everything.
We 69 like a psycho. It was our go-to. I mean, we started at 69.
Like I can shit. Read scripture from this angle.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Eventually, I realized once I started working in radio and girls started like liking me for being in a context, and I started doing stand up, and that's when I started being able to talk to girls, because I see them out after a show. I'm a little more able to talk to a woman after she sees me perform for whatever reason.
Well, do you also find that just in the stand up world, because I found this for me with rejection, it wasn't even a big deal.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Girl well, turns you, like, whatever. I just bombed in front of 200 people.
Yeah.
What's one more?
You I don't even, like, I don't even, I think in my older age of 30s now, I don't even approach girls anymore. I wait, like, now it's just like, if they want to talk to me, they will. Because if I approach them, I'm coming at it disadvantaged. Like, could you imagine a wonky-eyed 5'5 guy like me walking
Are
up to you?
Are you 5'5?
Yeah, dude. Just, like, walking up to you being like, so can I buy you a drink? Like, what are you going to think? I know what's going on here from A to B. You can't just have that be the first thing. You know what I mean?
So what is A?
That's not like pessimism or anything. It has to be me in a context. They have to understand that I'm like, okay, so when a girl sees me at a good show, for instance, where I'm do well.
Let's take the Baltimore show. You crushed when I saw
right,
you
and
in Baltimore.
It's at a place like
2,000 people.
Yeah, and it's a big place. So it's like, obviously, I've done something and I'm not like a complete mental ill person to the point of like, I can't function. You know what I'm saying? Like in a conversation, I'm at least somewhat normal to like interact business wise, I guess, with people. I don't know. It puts you in a context that's a little disarming for the woman, because she hears you talk for a fucking half hour about yourself, essentially. And sure, you're making jokes and shit, but they kind of get a bit of a gauge of your tenor, at least, you know, as opposed to like just approaching a woman in a bar and being like, here's what I look like. Now, you're going to have to go from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a bad place to start.
I get that.
Just makes sense to me. It's not a bad outlook on things. People are like, oh, you're pessimistic for saying that. It's like, maybe. I think I'm just realistic, you know?
Well, only you would know. You've lived this life. Everyone,
right.
Everyone with two good eyes can sit there and tell you whatever the fuck they want the whole time.
Right. I'm the
know.
One who had to lay on my fucking face for six weeks, motherfucker. Where were you?
6 weeks. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Glenn Campbell got me through.
Really?
Yeah, dude. He's the man.
So I want to go back, as you said, you were going to, that I had asked you about, remember when you knew someone's phone number, and you said you actually had a story about
it. Oh, when I got arrested with the DWI thing, I was at the pay for my one phone call. I was at the payphone, and I couldn't remember, like, does my mom's phone number end in a, like, 8 or a 6? I couldn't fucking remember. And I stared at it, and the cop who, like, was nice to me, he was like, hey, man, what's up? Why don't you come over here and use your cell phone? I cannot have you crying in here anymore.
You cry.
Yeah. call whoever
you want to shoot my service revolver or something. Cheer you up,
call
man.
Call whoever you want.
Be
me. Can't be in here crying.
Crying.
Yeah. That's my jail story.
He knew. He knew you might call the wrong number. And cry harder.
Oh,
bro.
He knew. He saw me staring at that payphone. He's like, he doesn't remember shit. He's like, hey, come over here. You just Pick them out of the phone. Call as many as you want.
Call whoever the fuck you want.
It's your
as long as you got unlimited minutes, yeah, call yeah, whoever the fuck
your
you
minutes,
want.
Dog.
God damn it.
Yeah,
oh my god.
Fucking millennial brain, dude. It's broken.
So how is dating now?
Dating
now.
Are
you seeing anyone now?
Actually, I just kind of started seeing somebody that I really like, actually. So it's
well, you joked earlier that you'd have to go with someone that has another ailment or whatever. Does this girl?
Oh, no. I don't think that's the case. Because I'm as shallow as the next. What? You know what I mean?
Does this girl have a handicap?
She does not.
Have you ever dated a girl with a handicap?
I don't think I have, other than the broken leg girl. She was pretty...
That was probably
fucked up for a while, dude. I mean, that was like taking care of an old person for a while. I mean, I thought we were going to have to get a special...
Told you to wear the Chucks! Like,
we're going to have to get one of those chairs for your bathtub? Like, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Poor girl. She's fine now.
How'd you meet the new girl?
Just through doing comedy and stuff. Just crazy. DMs. The DMs, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
Tom and Christina have helped out my life in so many ways, and one of them is being the DMs.
That's great. Enjoy it now, because they're going to be able to ruin it the same exact way.
Oh, dude.
And love I'm doing sure. every second of it. Too.
I'm sure. But no, I'm thankful for this and meeting this woman. I mean, she's great. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, like, she could say anything and it doesn't scare me, you know?
Yeah.
She could be, like, you know, talking about marriage and stuff like that, and it wouldn't frighten me. And she could be like, the Jews control the weather. And I'd be like, okay, maybe.
And you're like, I want to drive. And she's like, I'm fucking scared.
No, she's not. She can drive. So she can drive everywhere. It's all on her.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on and opening up and sharing everything.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to do this with you, man. I've been looking forward to doing this.
Yeah, man. I love your shit. So.
Well, I love you. And I'm really... really thankful you opened up. I'm sure that's not easy to sit there and talk about.
Oh, no, I
probably
do it all
talk
the time.
About your whole fucking life. And but one more time, will you please promote anything you'd like to promote, your website, your social media, all that good stuff?
Yes, thank you so much to all the people who came to the Hollywood Improv this past Friday night.
Sold
my
out
God.
One.
Oh, boy. I mean,
you end up doing two shows.
They bounced it off the ceiling. I mean, is that place still standing? I don't know. But... thank you if you did, for real. And you can find me on Twitter at @J_Potter and on Instagram at @Josh_Potter. And check me out in LA. I'll be in LA for a while. If you want me to come to your town, tell your fucking comedy club in your town and just yell at them. And then maybe they'll bring me because we've been trying. So
yeah, go see Josh.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So thank you, dude. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.